podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Rangers Rabble podcast. Bit of an impromptu one. I wasn't going to do one, and then I thought, fuck it, why not? Before I come to what's going to happen tonight, let me introduce my guests. Kerr, the wanker. Scott, how are you? As good as that?
I'm fine, Martin. I'm actually better than fine, aye. I'm good.
Aye, good. And welcoming back to the podcast, Elaine. Elaine, how are you?
I'm really good. It's good to be back. It's probably been a couple of weeks, even a couple of months. So thanks for having me back.
And now I've got two people in a toilet.
Yes.
I'm in a spare room.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
You're in the kitchen.
So I thought tonight we would just have a wee quick run through Rangers Europa League journey. Not too long, because I want to talk about last night as well. And then I want to talk about, should we be moving SPFL fixtures? Should we not? Will it happen? No, but we'll talk about it anyway. And then we'll finish with a wee kind of Old Firm preview. We will be back on Sunday morning, of course, for the pre-match build-up and stuff like that. But we'll talk about the Old Firm game anyway. Elaine, before we come to the European run, something we were just talking about before we came on, even before the game last night, there seemed to be a lot more positivity within the fans. Because I'll be honest with you, since the Old Firm defeat, even the first Braga game, I was still down. Not that I didn't care what the result was, but I just didn't have the same oomph going into the game. But it seemed to be different last night.
I think in Europe, the pressure's off. We have constantly punched above our weight a wee bit in Europe. And I think last night, especially going there, or going to Braga and losing, but still being in the tie, meant coming back to Ibrox, it was still all to play for, but the pressure's off. You know, go out, as long as the team went and gave a good account of themselves and just absolutely, you know, tried their heart out, I think everyone would have been happy, because the reality is for us, you know, a European semi-final, be it, you know, obviously it's the Europa League, not the Champions League, but you look even at the budgets of the other teams here and there, obviously, you look at Barcelona going out and the teams that have gone out. There's no way that we should be there, really. So I just think pressure was off last night and they did just outstanding. And I don't know what it is about this team in Europe, but I was saying to you guys beforehand, I had a better feeling about last night than I did about the, you know, even any of the domestic games. And I don't know whether or not it is to do with the pressure thing, because the team just react. On a European night, I don't know if it's down to atmosphere. We were talking about that before we came on as well, that the whole place is bouncing. We're massively behind the team. Ibrox last night was like something that I don't think I could compare it to anything else. It was like something that I've not experienced. It was just unbelievable. And it was just a great night all round.
It's a hard one to put your finger on, Kerr, because we have been excellent in Europe. We'll go all the way back to where it kind of all began, Malmo, in a wee minute. But just touching on Elaine's point there, why have we been so good in Europe? And why have we had these slip-ups in the league? Can you put your finger on it?
To be honest with you, probably not. And if I could, then I wouldn't be sitting here. Maybe sitting in a hot seat. But I think it's got to do with, over the last few years, we've been kind of built as a European side with Steven Gerrard, weren't we? The way we played, the way we performed in Europe the last few seasons, we played really well, and the team were used to putting a certain way in Europe, pressing, hitting the breaker, taking the game to other teams. You see, we've got like Kent does it, Kamara's done it in the past, Morelos has been phenomenal in European football, goals he's scored, and I think we get used to the way we're playing, because teams don't sit with a bank of 10, you can say, defending. Mm-hmm. They'll come and play us because they think, well, it's Rangers, we'll go and play against them. Because they play in Scottish football, and we think that's great coming players, and we can play our own game as well, and we can attack with freedom. But in the league, we play against teams, and then they're not as good as European teams, but playing against teams who are sitting with two banks or four, and we struggle to break them down. We can all get a space to play in behind and the way we play, we can't really, we don't really have a plan B at times, and that's the problem in the league.
But do we press more, Kerr? Do we press more in Europe than what we're doing domestically?
We don't really press domestically because teams don't really come in place, so they're kind of sitting. We've got majority of the ball, but we're running into alleys, we're running into paths we can't get by because they're that deep at times. So it's more difficult to press teams when they're sitting. Whereas in European games, they come out and players, so it's easier to press them, get the ball off them and hit quick because we have got quick players like Kent and Morelos and Tav breaking down the wing and stuff. So it suits us better, but in the league, we find it more difficult. And it's only really Celtic. I know that Ibrox has sat for a bit, but they don't really sit as much as others. And I don't know, for some reason, we found it difficult in the league. But I mean, the start of Europe wasn't great, but I don't know, I said to you before we come on, I think the Dortmund games gave the players more belief in Europe because not one is expected to beat Borussia Dortmund. I never. And we beat them quite comfortably. And I think all the rest of the guys have thought, listen, we beat Dortmund. They're a big hitting team. They're one of the biggest teams in European football. And they're a very good side. We shouldn't fear anybody. I think they've played a lot recent in European games. We don't fear anybody. Even last night, even when they scored, I didn't feel we were going to get beat. I was worried, but I didn't feel we were. But in the league games we concede, you can see sometimes we drop pace or the head goes down.
Is there an argument, though, Elaine, to what Kerr's saying there? Even when we played them in the league, we don't press them either. It's as if Gio's got a completely different set of tactics for Europe than what he does for Scotland.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, the game at Parkhead, he came out and said that wasn't the tactics. You know, the tactic wasn't to sit off. We are such a better team when we're playing on the front foot. And it sounds so daft, but see, when we're dictating play and there's pace and we are running at teams, we look like a really dangerous side. Looking at last night, that should have been over at half-time. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, fantastic first 45 minutes of football. Even going in second half, even extra time, we could have scored 3 in extra time. When we're on the front foot and we're dictating play, we're a great side. I don't know whether or not, you know, as I said, that we kind of come up against these banks of players, and I think we run out of ideas domestically. And I think that quite often there's a lack of urgency domestically. I don't know whether that's just because maybe last season, maybe we're a bit blasé, maybe we think that we will get the chances. I don't know whether or not. I think we're actually quite an easy team to play against when we do sit off, because I think we just knock it around the back quite often, and sometimes going forward we look like we don't have ideas if we are letting teams come on to us. When we dictate the play like we can do and like we do in Europe, we're so much more dangerous. And we do it, you know, some of the football last night, it's night and day, and I think that's such a frustration because you look at some of the games, especially the games at Ibrox this season where we've dropped points, and you think that team from last night turns up. It's a, you know, we're not sitting here discussing, or last week you're not sitting discussing potentially the league being over mm-hmm. before the split kind of thing. So, you know, but we're not dwelling on that because it was a brilliant night and it was great. And at the end of the day, I think the fans and the players, they deserved that last night.
100%. Here's a question, and it's somebody who we could probably talk about in every game, especially in Europe. Phenomenal. There's a lot of competition in his national team. But Peter Lawrence wants to know, before we carry on, Elaine, do you guys think that Tavernier is worthy of an England call-up on his current form in Europe?
Possibly. Yeah, yes. Yeah, I'm going to say yes because I'm not slagging the captain. He's been unbelievable. His numbers are unbelievable. His record in Europe's unbelievable. At that level, having said that, do you know what I would say? You say Europa League. In Europe, you could get found out defensively. He's been excellent. He's been excellent this season. Why not?
You know, Kerr, it's one of those ones. You know, somebody plays in Scotland, you know, they might get into the Scotland team, Nigeria team. They might get into the Trinidad and Tobago team. There's no way in hell somebody in Scotland's going into the England team, though, is there, regardless of how well they do in Europe? But should he?
If you're looking at his numbers and he's looking at the way he plays, and I think down in England, they'll not look so much at the SPL, they'll look at Europe. So he's playing in Europe, why not? I mean, I know Trent Arnold plays there, and you've got Walker, and you've got other lads who's been in England team, like Thingy as well, Luke Shaw. They're all good going forward, but defensively, they're not all great either. And the way Taff plays, he's going forward, these numbers are up there with the best of them. And if he probably played in England, I'm almost sitting here and saying Man City, you could play for Man City next weekend. But I'm saying if he played with a team at Man City, you would see so much from him. You'd probably get the same assists and the same goals because of the way they play, because the fullbacks at City and Liverpool don't have to defend as much because of the way they play. And he's obviously put me a better player, so I don't see why you shouldn't. It make his, just because he plays up here doesn't make him a bad player. I think he's not appreciated by Rangers fans. I think a lot of people do, but you're always the first one to face the criticism. And I think it's when Tav's not here, you'll eventually realise what he did offer and what he did bring.
Yeah. Let's get to a few comments before we carry on. Who have we got? We've got a lot of people saying, oh, goody, Elaine's here. I never get that. Not once did I get that. CGM. Good evening. Good evening, CGM. We're very own Aldo McNaught. Elaine, love heart. I never get a love heart. Nicholas Moore, yes, Elaine is back. Jim Sloan, how you doing, Jim? Trying to remember, follow. I think there's a lot of people in your boat the day Gallant Pioneer been hungover all day. I know that I'm back on it, just to cure the wee buzz that was in my head. I won't say else the panel's on it.
I felt hungover and I wasn't drinking. So
what are you drinking just now, Elaine?
Oh, I am now. But last night I wasn't. Last night, I think I was just absolutely exhausted. God knows how the players felt, because I felt like I kicked every single ball last night.
I was knackered. I was absolutely knackered. Graham Ross, evening, Graham. What's this, Josh Kennedy? Martin, did you hear Bob Ag as the ref on Sunday? For that one, didn't I? Read the comments before you bring them up, Martin. Read the comments before you bring them up. I think that's it for... Are we finished with the Elaine loving? Can we move on for the Elaine loving?
Nicholas Moore, put a good one in.
I'm not at the bottom of the comments yet. I need to work my way down, Kieran. Unlike you, I need to try and host talk and look at the comments at the same time.
So you can't multitask, Martin.
Don't make a fool out of me, Kieran. Don't make a fool out of me.
Elaine, take over.
I suppose... So. Give me a lane to JD any day. I mean, that always goes with it. This all started, Kerr, I suppose.
You've got a wee love heart, Martin.
Where?
It's there.
I feel though, but...
That doesn't count. I suppose, Kerr, this European run all started with... But the biggest disappointment of the season at that point, obviously, we've had a few more. The loss to Malmo.
Yeah.
Which I think set Rangers back quite a bit. From possibly bringing in transfers, etc. It was a big kind of dunt to Gerrard. Obviously, Gerrard leaves. Question for you, though, before we talk about the Malmo. Would you have took Champions League group stage over a potential Europa League final?
Probably at this moment, no. But at the time, I would have. Aye, because Champions League, you make more money, don't you? And if you get kicked out of Champions League after making a certain... I think if you finish third, you go back into Europa League anyway. So there's always a possibility coming out through that way. But I think the Malmo game was a kick in the teeth we didn't expect. I think that might be probably more confidence than we should have. We all thought Malmo were easy pickings and we were going to beat them quite comfortably. That never happened. And I do think, looking back, you do think maybe we should have brought in a couple of fresh faces before we faced them. But I think they were budgeting on, let's get by Malmo and then we can spend money. I think that backfired, like you said. I think it did set us back a wee bit.
Can we get away from all this? Do you like the PlayStation part in the comments? Please. I'll have you know that Elaine's man is about 6'4" and his shoulders are like that. So can we get away from all the PlayStation part?
Cold action, man.
Yes. And thank you, Linda. See, there's somebody appreciates the host. You know what I mean? Kier, you don't deserve anything because we all know what you're like. But I think Malmo was tough to take, Elaine, because they were down to the second leg, they were down to 10 men. We expected to go through, we didn't. It was a kick in the teeth.
It was, and I think that it was a really difficult one because coming off the back of such a good season last season, and the buzz about the place and getting back in, getting fans back in, then that, yeah, it totally took the wind out of our sails. The one thing that I would say is, don't get me wrong, I don't think any of us wouldn't take the Champions League. Of course, that's what we want to be. We want to hear that music. We want to be, that'll be such a momentous occasion when we're actually back in the mm-hmm. Champions League. Mm-hmm. But the Europa League is our level. And I know I said that we're punching above our weight, but we're able to take the teams on and have really good, you know, really good games. We've not disgraced ourselves by any means. We've taken a few scalps along the way. I would have, not necessarily fear, that's maybe a wee bit unkind on the players because they have raised their game so much for Europe. But I think there's potential in the Champions League that we do get an absolute doing off someone. And actually, the Europa League, we're in it for longer, it's more enjoyable, and the theme tune's better anyway, so we're all in.
I suppose, technically, I think, Kerr, if I've done the sums right, I think up until now, we've made what we would have made in the Champions League group stages, is that right?
I've not got a clue, Matt.
Do you know, you're absolutely hopeless.
I'll take your word in that.
Genuinely, you're hopeless.
I saw someone say, and I don't know, I might be plucking this from nowhere, because just last night, but I think last night alone could have been worth about $8.5 million in terms of prize money, you know, gate receipts, TV money, everything like that. And when you think we've come up, so we've come through the last two seasons, last 16, so to get the quarters and then the semis, that's got to be worth about $15 million to us all. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's going to be some overheads and whatever, but what it does do is make a dent in, I suppose, the big worry about if we don't go on to win the league this season, the big money is the prize pot at the end of it. You know, we've done all the legwork for the past couple of years. It would be just like the thing that we've done it for another team to benefit and get the Champions League pot. But for us, if it's 15 million, say, over the past two, and we must have, you know, I think we must have a good shot of going through. No one thinks it would be easy. And I think, obviously, Leipzig are now the tournament favourites.
Yeah. But so we're Dortmund. Well, by the way, they are, and we'll come at, they're a very good team.
Yeah. But so we're Dortmund. And yes, they were kind of missing players, but Leipzig are going to be missing a few players as well. You know, we've got a good chance at it. And if we can get through, then that makes a huge dent. Money-wise is massive.
Yeah. And by the way, see this money floating about for the Champions League? It's not 40 million. To get to the group stages, it's 15 million or something if you get to the group stages and then you add in sponsorships and all that. Excuse me, it's only 40 million if you get out the groups. And listen, if we've laid the groundwork for them to get into the Europa, the Champions League group stages, the one thing that they've shown us is that they'll embarrass Scotland again in Europe, because that's what they tend to always do. Right, so Kurt, I won't run through the Alice Kurt game, so we get put out there. The Champions League qualifiers, we go into the Europa League qualifiers, we go through, and we make quite possibly the worst start that we've made in a while at a European competition after me just slagging them for being hopeless.
My dad, yeah, we lost against Lyon and Sparta, and we thought after that, right, we're not going to go through here. But we turned that about, and credit to the players we did, and we started playing again in Europe. Like we know we can play, but it was a difficult start. I don't know if that was a hangover for the Malmo defeat, because we only get through beating Alice Kirk not very convincingly, I have to say. We were poor in both games, and I think at that time we were all saying maybe we should have bought players in because we didn't look great, but the players have turned it about, Martin, and I think the more they, like Ellen said, they beat a lot of teams who were. Some of the people will say big scalps. I think when you play against Dortmund, then you get a result, and then Red Star, you get a result. I think that gives you the morale, a great boost, but it gives the players so much confidence in their own abilities. They think, listen, we've just beat Borussia Dortmund, and people can say Dortmund were missing players, Dortmund, but still Borussia Dortmund at the end of the day. Doesn't matter who is playing, still Borussia Dortmund you beat. Because, like I said earlier, nobody expected us to get through there. Everybody thought, well, we're going to beat 4-5-0. But we get through, and we beat Red Star and we beat Bragg. I mean, that's three good sides, no matter what anybody says. And we've got Leipzig in the next game, but who's to say we're not going to beat them? I know they're a good side, Martin. I know you said this, and I've been hearing from other people.
Just trying to quell expectations, Gary.
I don't know a lot about them, to be fair, but I know they're decent. but so are we in Europe.
And yes, I used the word quail, and yes, Kerr did take it from the first two games to right through every game there. So thanks everybody for watching. speak to you later. But yeah, look, we did make a horrible start to the groups, and I think, Elaine, thinking back now, right, it's difficult to remember. I've written looking back, but I would imagine that most of us probably thought that was our European campaign pretty much over.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you look back to when Gerrard left, and it's fine because we're all over it now. But when he left, before the other, you know, the other Cup semi-final, and we had this massive game at home to Prague, and that was potentially going to be a really huge turning point of the season. And obviously the Cup semi, you know, been that. But for the, yeah, just not talking about that. But for the players to come back and to do the business against Prague and to turn it around, and then obviously get through the group stages. I think it's this, did I read somewhere that we've lost more games in Europe this year than we have in, you know, however many. So to put that in perspective as well, they've done really well to even get out the group stages. And I think it's just, yeah, I'm just careful about dreaming too much, because at the end of the day, Leipzig's going to be hard. But last night's the first time where you start thinking, okay, could we? So much so, I booked flights for Seville. So, you know.
We've already booked flights?
Just in case.
I've been banned after my shenanigans trying to get home for Dortmund. I've been banned by the good lady.
It took you a month to get up the road.
Yeah, there's only so long you can blame it on the planes, isn't it? Curry Muncher, well, seeing Martin's fixed his hair, Elaine here, do you think this is my hair fixed? Seriously, I think this is my hair fixed. In fact, I put a question to everybody. Should I just shave it all off because it's doing my nothing? Believe it or not, it looks ringing, but it's clean.
You said you were going to do that anyway. You should do just a big charity shave.
A big charity? Well, oh, no.
You said that about 14 months ago. You're going to shave his nut.
But I got it cut. And now, honestly, remember the old bowl cuts you used to get? Remember them? Where your hair was done like that, and it looked as if there was a bowl right there. I'm just leaving it like that now. I've messed it up. That's it getting left. So should I shave my head? Yes or no?
Buy a hat, I say.
No, Martin. No. There you go. How do these podcasts always turn into a conversation about my hair? Honest to God. Probably Gio's first real test. I don't know if this is fair, because I'm trying to think back in case I've missed anything in the league here, but I don't know. Look, we beat Sparta 2-0 at home, and we go into the last game against Lyon needing to take something from it. Away to Lyon, I don't care what team you're, that's a hard, hard game. Was that Gio's first real big test?
I think all games are in, if you're in your mind, it's a test, but I think this was the one he was probably looking at to himself to say, I need to do something here, because it's, I'd probably say the whole world, but more people are watching the Rangers side, more people's watching him. And they go away to Lyon and get a draw when you need a point. It's a great result, because we've seen how far they've went in the competition as well, and how far they've went in Europe in the last few years. So, and they're a very good side, Lyon. So it was a good result going away to Lyon, because probably at the time, I can't remember, but I don't know if we were confident or not at the time, as supporters. Because
I don't think so. I wouldn't imagine so.
The forum was kind of up and down, so that was a good result going away, because it got us through. Because once you're through the group stages, it just comes down to over two legs. And
it comes down to who you get in the draw.
As we've seen, we've not had the easiest draws, but we've took everybody we've faced. And
according to Twitter, we've had not only the best refereeing decisions, we get two goals or three goals chopped off last night, but we've also had the best draw here.
I've seen the easiest draw
that anybody could ever possibly get.
VR's giving us decisions, but anybody else, it's... I don't know who's actually writing these things. I don't know if it's just people kidding themselves on or actually people being serious, because if you're being serious, then you need to take a long, hard look at yourself.
Staunch VAR, eh? Well, Rangers day trip costing £509 plus ticket cost. I'm sure your good lady will be fine with that, Martin.
Martin doesn't do day trips. He would get lost and then not come back himself.
Yeah, I'd honestly, day trips on the on the grid for me. If I told her it was £509, she would kill me. There you go. So we get into the last 16, Elaine, and I'm just running through this quickly because I do want to get on to last night's game because everybody knows everything that's happened now. And we, of course, we're all sitting watching the draw, and I think we all unanimously said the one team that we probably don't want to get is Borussia Dortmund.
Mm-hmm.
Borussia Dortmund we get. Now,
yep.
I didn't care what the missus said, I was gone. Right? I'm a big fan of Germany, I love Germany, I think it's a beautiful country, and I thought I'm gone, so I went. Never in my wildest dreams did I think, not only would I see Rangers win over there, but that was possible. But Rangers thrashed Dortmund, is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think it was such a weird, it was such a weird one for me because actually I had booked up to go and then things changed at home and it just wasn't going to be, it wasn't going to be a goer. And normally I'd watch the games with my mum and just for whatever reason, it wasn't that night. I could see it coming through. And so I'm kind of following it on Twitter and, you know, got Taylor and whatever. And you're thinking, we could kill them. You know, go for a fifth against Dortmund in Germany. And it was nuts that when they got a second, when they pulled another one back, that you're actually disappointed and you're thinking, we could have put that game to bed. We could have rested players when they came back. You know, 5-1, absolute canter. But unbelievable. And to go and do that, and you know, obviously Haaland wasn't there, but Bellingham was just, I think he'll go on. I think everyone can see he'll be
phenomenal.
Outstanding. And also, I think we're a wee bit too fangirl, but great head on his shoulders as well. I think he spoke incredibly well, I think, after both games. But that team still have class in them. And that team are still a really good side. I think I saw a video of Twitter of the game over there. And their fans were actually applauding our third or fourth goal or whatever. I think it was maybe
Ken. I was sitting in the main stand and amongst all the Dortmund fans. And don't get me wrong, they were very, very angry at their team.
There was an appreciation. Absolutely, there was an appreciation. And I think that was beyond people's wildest dreams. So, and that's when you do obviously think, right, if we can take them, they were the favourites. You know, obviously, the game at Dortmund was just unbelievable. But if that can happen, then you start to think, right, what else are we capable of?
I know, I'm sitting in the main stand, right? I'm pretty much just at the side of the halfway line. Phenomenal seat. I've got my jacket zipped up. I tried my best German at the gate because I thought, if they know that I'm Scottish, they won't let me in. And I'm sitting there and Rangers go 1-0 up, they go 2-0 up, second half they go, Lindstrom scores, they go 3-0 up. And there's a guy two, three rows in front of me. And he's got the jacket off, he's got the Rangers tap on, he's talking about celebrating. And he just turned around to me and he went, big man. People call me big man, right? I'm tiny, I'm like 5'7". And yeah, I get called big. I think it's because I'm fat. He turns around to me and he goes, big man, what the fuck's going on? And I'm just looking at him going, mate, I've not got a fucking clue. Fucking tears streaming down my eye. Oh, phenomenal. Brilliant. Lovely. Brilliant night. Loved it. I did then have to walk an hour back to the hotel because I couldn't figure out what bus to get. And anyway, and the trip home, oh, horrendous. But, care. And with all that said, second leg, I still wasn't 100% confident the tie was over.
No, and there was that. And I think majority is running because it's always the back of your head, Dortmund. I've seen somebody put in a comment saying, I said I wanted Dortmund, and I can't remember by that far, but I probably did, because I think we're talking at the time, who do we want for the next round, but he was picking Barca, but I says, no, I don't like Barcelona, so I'd prefer Dortmund. So I was right, we beat them. No, but the second leg, you went to Ibrox that night, hopeful we'll get through, we've done enough, but when they scored, you're like, right there in this game, but we dug deep again and we got the result we needed, but we played really well, and that's a thing in Europe, you don't really, you only see in the league every so often, the players' heads don't go, and we seem to think, no matter who we're playing, we'll get the result. Do you know that? And the players all believe in themselves, and they all play for each other, whereas in the league, sometimes it's like, what shape we're playing, what formation we're playing, mm-hmm. What the fuck are we doing? But, sorry for swearing, but in Europe, it's some of the games we've played in Europe this season, I know, say that as well, it's been a joy to watch, it's mm-hmm. just... Alec mentioned it in the comments earlier, it's been something, it's like a basketball game, it's back and forth, but it's good to watch, it's good football, both teams can be playing and we're sitting enjoying it, and we're scoring lots of goals. So if we can play that, we can replicate that in the league, we won the league no bother, but it's just a pity we can't, because no. Scottish football is totally different from European football.
I know. And Elaine, we're going to have to change your surname to McAnally, apparently. Our very own Graham. Elaine doing an Alan McAnally there in Dortmund in Germany. There you go. And I'll tell you a story.
I prefer when I'm getting the love hearts and...
Yeah. Don't get used to it. See, when I first brought Elaine in, I saved her number on my phone as Elaine Rabble, right? Because I didn't know your surname or whatever. And I'm sitting one night doing a pod, and this Elaine McDonald comes up in the comments. I'm going, who the fuck's that? Who's that? I have no idea who that is. And then, of course, on WhatsApp, it came up Elaine McDonald, and I went, oh, fuck, that's her name. Right, okay. I'm full of useless, shitey stories. So if anybody wants to hear more of them, please just let me know. Right, so we go through 2-2 at Ibrox. Phenomenal night, Elaine, a night that... I think that was that the first time we've seen that spider cam.
Thing? Yeah, the back cam.
Yeah, the back spider cam. Back cam.
No, back cam. Yeah. Getting your Marvel and DC movies mixed up, Martin.
I know.
So no, it was I think it was, and it was just the scenes are brilliant and the camera is good. I think they're kind of doing it to death now.
Yeah,
after every goal, you know, get a corner. Oh, let's get that cam out. It was. And that's the thing, is we were talking about is Ibrox is just on nights like that, just a different kind of fish. It was brilliant. And I know you're coming to last night, but as I said, the atmosphere last night was just like something I've not experienced at Ibrox, and we stuck with them through the whole thing. We absolutely backed the players, and I think they did respond to it. So that was just an incredible game going through against Dortmund. I think you then start to realise, and I know, because it does get a wee bit boring to constantly say, well, 10 years ago or 12 years ago, or you know, where we've been and the ball in the hedge and all that, because we all know about it, we've all had this chat so many times, but there are certain moments that are kind of like watershed moments. When we get back to the Champions League, that'll be a big one. But there are certain moments that you do think, God, I sat in Ibrox when you'd be lucky if there was 20, 25,000 there. And you see us, you know, in really, really terrible games, losing to teams, a shell of a team, and just not knowing if it would get back. And it's nights like Dortmund, I think that's one of the ones that I'll always... I'll be, I mean, last night as well. Last night, just at the end, I'm trying not to start green. but it is, and we can't always go back to that saying, oh, well, you know, this is where we've come from. But I do think that the fans have an appreciation, having been through that and been through what as a collective we've been through. It can help, it almost does mean just that wee bit more.
I think that ends once we get to the Champions League. I think as soon as we make the Champions League, I think that conversation has to start coming to an end pretty soon. You know, look where we've came from. We have to finally just move on for that. I think there's one thing we have missed all season, and it's one thing they've got up on us, I have to say, Kerr. All we need is the disco lights now, I think, and that'll be us sorted, won't it?
Aye, disco lights, they'd be great, wouldn't it? No, we just put your torch on your phone, that'll do me.
I know, I can't believe we're missing the disco lights. Yeah. Disco lights or John McGinn? Oh, disco lights. very, very quickly, Kerr, because I want to come to tomorrow night's game, and I'm very conscious that we're 34 minutes in. I want to try and say this name correctly instead of just saying Red Star Belgrade, right? But I'm not even going to attempt it because there's no way I'm going to get it. So Red Star Belgrade, we lost 2-1 over there, but the first leg at Ibrox, they had a few goals ruled out. But was it fairly comfortable? Or was
it
a harder game than the scoreline suggests?
They weren't bad, but I thought we played really well. But I think it was one of the first games. Obviously, you watch VAR and you watch the English football and stuff like that. International football will come up. We've seen it in the World Cup. But I think it was the very first time I was at a game where VAR was constantly a bit news and constantly chopping off goals in the favour of one side. And it's like, my God, that's another one chopped off. That's another one chopped off. Oh, there's another one chopped off. And if I would have been a Red Star fan, I'd have been absolutely bailing. And now, even last night, and we score a goal, you celebrate and you stand, don't you, for a second and think, you look at the big screen and think, is the VAR coming up? So you don't want to celebrate. That's what I mean. You know what to celebrate because you think, this might be chopped off here. Mm-hmm. So it's no, you wait a couple of seconds and like, obviously, a roof header get chopped off and I watched it back and I still think it was very harsh, but that's the way VAR's going. But you don't want to celebrate full because usually when a goal goes in, you're cuddling everybody around about you, you're falling over the front seat, folk are falling over the back seats to you and you're just going nuts. But last night, it was more subdued where I was. People were celebrating and everybody's like, right, this might get chopped off. So we're all standing watching it and it did get chopped off. And
See the one after 5 minutes, they would have put us 2-0 up. So we were all going absolute daft. It's like the dream start, perfect, brilliant. I kind of had forgotten about VAR as well. And then obviously it goes to VAR. See when he blew his whistle, we all thought it was still a goal. So we went to celebrate again. Yeah. And then you're like, no, he's given the free kick. So, and I know obviously we have benefited from it at times. You know, Kent, 2 carbon copy penalties that weren't given in real time. Had pulled back that were penalties, and we have benefited from it. But that's the angle that I don't like about it is the kind of player celebration, our celebration, and then
But that's what it's there for. And we'll come to last night's game in 2 ticks just to finish off on the run. Elaine, we go away to Red Star, and obviously we're beat 2-1. They scored very late on. Disappointed to get beat, but the damage was done in the first leg, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I think Red Star is probably the worst game to come to me about because that's when we went at the game because my grand's ill. So we did actually watch it at hers, and there was something really nice about that. But we were all going absolutely daft. And it was a nice wee escape. And just, I know this is totally off topic, so just indulge me for 1 second. But there was a comment a wee while back, I think it was Glasgow Rangers' life, just before 8 o'clock, who said, you know, great night last night. I think he said it was his mum passed away today or yesterday.
Oh, I never seen it.
So really, really sorry to hear that. And obviously everyone at the Rabble really sorry about that. There is something really reassuring and something really nice about having... Even just last night, you know, it sounds daft, but it's like a wee family. You go there and you're hugging folk around you that you wouldn't know their names, but so that's the question there. So really sorry to hear about that. Obviously, we were in the same boat a few weeks ago, and it was the Red Star game, and it's amazing how much of a release football is, and it's amazing how good that is to have. So apologies, I don't have. Have a great deal about that game because that whole time's a bit of a blur. But brilliant to go through. And I remember watching the away game, and that's as you say, you start thinking, right, who next? And you know, are we getting a march or are we gonna do this?
Who next? Indeed, Karen, it was Braga. A team that I think most of us were happy with, not you. You wanted West Ham or Barcelona.
I didn't want Barcelona,
Martin. I said West Ham, no Barcelona.
I just wanted
West Ham just to try and shut some of the smug English people up because it's like if you play in English Premiership, you're the bee's knees, but anywhere else they don't care about. It's like the English Premiership's the be all and end all, and to me it's no, but I think if they got West Ham, we might have. I'm not saying we'd definitely beat them, but I think when they gave them a scare, I think we'd have the chance of beating them because I don't think they're as good as they think they are either. But no,
I'm pretty sure, Kerr, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is there not a recent past winner of the Premier League who's currently competing in the conference? UEFA Conference League? Oh, right, okay. So, you know, they're that fantastic that they couldn't qualify in the Europa League. Okay. The first leg, very, very quickly against Braga, Kerr. I know it probably came at the wrong time. I mean, is there ever a right or wrong time to play games? But it was just from start to finish dreadful.
We were brutal, yeah. And we came away with a nil defeat. Braga weren't great. They looked good at times, but they weren't great. But we were awful. We didn't have a shot on target, did we? And we were so just dead passive. We weren't great. And the goal came from a mistake for Balligan because he plays in the left, but he can't use his right. He just may be in a slip on his left foot because he doesn't use it at all. He went to his right and missed it. So, but then it shows you last night, the other team, the other side of Rangers turn up, the Jekyll and Hyde Rangers, the other side turns up and we go through.
How good a performance, Elaine, was last night?
I mean, honestly, the first 45 is up there with what I've seen. I mean, this season, head and shoulders above what we've seen this season. But I just thought everything about them in the first half, they came out with intent. They didn't let their heads go down when the second goal was chopped off. They kept at it. They were so... Just to a man, everyone was excellent. They were disciplined. They knew what they were doing. Everything about it was brilliant last night. And you know, you're at half time. That's your European quarter final at half time. You're thinking, how's this not four? How's this only two? But I can't really overstate how big a performance I thought last night was. And actually, I know we're saying the first half, but to lose a goal in such a way, so disappointing right at the end when you can almost, you know, I'm clock watching from 60 minutes thinking, right, as long as half an hour. And again, they reacted to it, didn't let their heads go down. The one thing that we do question about this team are their confidence at their bottom, you know, have they? Absolutely to a man last night, I thought they were excellent. Just absolutely brilliant. I could go on just literally saying how good it was all night, because I thought it was, don't remember many performances like that and don't remember many atmospheres like that either.
And it would have been so easy, Kerr. You know, a team's down to 10 men, they sneak a late goal, you don't finish it off in the 90, when you should have been, let's be honest, 4-5, 6-1 up, we were that good. It would have been so easy for us to go into our shell and go, it's no our season, this isn't going right. But the team stood up to it. And all right, they had 10 men, but in that extra time, we came back and we got the goal that we needed.
And we did, because we should have got more as well, Martin. I've got, I feel they took his boots out the box.
Oh, but, brutal, mate.
But no, we played really well last night. And I have to say, I've been critical of Gio, and I probably will still be between now and the end of the season. But last night, the first half, his tactics were spot on. Ryan Jack was something behind Tav, so Tav was going forward with no reason to see what's behind him when he was, because defensively, because he knew Ryan was there. Same with Borna, he was going behind. Lundstrom was sitting deeper, controlling the middle, and Bassi was pulling it to the left, so he was getting forward. And you see how well we play with our full-backs higher up the park. Both of them were putting in fantastic balls into the box, and Barisic has been his best game for a while, I have to say. But I will say the first goal with Tav, I mean, how did they manage to get that in?
Cammy says it here, Kerr. James Tavernier is the king.
I never slagged Tav at all. I just think Tav's amazing. I just think for what we got him for, what he's been here and done it and get a t-shirt. He was here with Matt Warburton. He's seen his really bad. He's seen his one. He's seen his up and down, but he still gives you the same performance every week. We know players play great and then they can have off days, but he still tries. Do you know what I mean? And Tav, to me, is just phenomenal. And that finish last night, I mean, he's a right back. I know he's playing higher up the park, but just to be at the back post in case anything comes across, he's there reading it, so walking across. And you thought, his first time, I thought he's going to put that back across, but no, he went for it, and it was a goal. And it just set the team up for the night and set the fans up for the night.
For me, anyway, I can't speak for anybody, Elaine, apart from myself. Right, and I never will try, but I don't even think this is a question now. For me, James Tavernier is a legend of the club. I know you can't be a legend until you've finished your time and whatever. So once Tav has finished his time at Rangers, when we look back, there is absolutely 100% certainty he will become a legend of Rangers.
Yeah, do you know, see just what you were in there. I actually did some research today, but that was just literally screenshotting folk off Twitter. But there was one tweet that was saying, Tav's now got, bear in mind, you're right, but he's got more goals than Barry Ferguson, Nacho Novo, David Cooper. He's close to overtaking Alberts. He's almost got the same as Gazza and Laudrup combined. this season, so currently he's the top goal scorer in Europa League, albeit joint, but the other two goal scorers, one was Leon and one's Braga. So, you know, obviously he's got a real shot at it. The only person who's up, you know, there or thereabouts, plays for Frankfurt and is two behind him. So he's got a real shot at being the top goal scorer in a European competition, which is just, you know, unbelievable.
He's a right back.
I think as well, he's joint at the moment, top goals and assists. And again, the only other person who's like that is or who's still in the competition is Frankfurt. So his numbers alone, we were talking about this last night, you know, when you think about the kind of ups and downs of him, and I know we all say about his he's come in for a lot of criticism, and he's probably the one player who's had so much stick, because you do get the Tav's never a captain, and and fair play to him, because especially in Europe he really has led us, and in fact the six goals have all come in the knockout stages, which is phenomenal. And yeah, also, just balls of steel. See the pressure, the pressure penalties. I know he missed one recently, but absolutely.
Everybody misses a penalty, though.
Yeah, you know, coolest man in Ibrox last night. I could barely watch, and he does it time and time again.
And you know what? And family makes a phenomenal point. Imagine if we had a steady right winger ahead of him. You know, Kerr, he's done most of his work. It was Candace left. And we had Scott Wright playing there, with Aribo playing there. He's never had, since Candigas left, a steady partner ahead of him.
He's not really, but imagine we played a back three and just played two wing backs. But Martin, that'd be even better, wouldn't it?
Won my mind with tactics here.
Do you know what I mean? So then they wouldn't have to track back as much. And I have to say, I think when John Lundstrom's come into his side, it's helped him. Because he covers that much ground through the middle. He can cover both full backs, you know what I mean? Ryan Jack been back as well, but no, it's phenomenal what Tav's been doing this season, but the last few seasons.
The other story, as I try and sort out my equipment, the other fullback here, Mr. Borna Barisic.
Yep.
I was asked before if, you know, I felt as if he should have been given the chance to come in after only playing one decent game in the league. Bassi obviously moved into centre-back, Balogun left out. Borna Barisic came into left-back, and I said no. No, I don't think he should have. I don't feel as if Bassi done enough. He's done anything wrong, really, to lose that left-back place. And I would prefer a 70 or 80% fit Balogun at centre-back. And I am more than happy to sit here today and say, man, how wrong was that? But I thought last night, Borna was outstanding.
He was, and I think Ross made a good point last night in the pod. Ross said about when Borna's playing like that, his deliveries into the box and his confidence, there's not anybody better we've got, but it's getting the consistency for Borna. That's been a problem this season. His consistency levels, it's up and down, but he seems to have got his mojo back, doesn't he? I don't know where it's came from, but he seems to have got it back a bit. And I would play Bassi. Bassi's not the best centre-back because he's not the greatest header of the ball, but I'd rather have him there than Balogun. I just think Balogun's poor.
I would rather have a fully fit Balogun. An out and out centre back. You know, because for me, Bassi's not done anything wrong, Elaine, to lose the left back spot. I just get that wee when he's playing centre back.
Yeah, although to be fair, I know what you're saying about Balogun. And when Balogun came on, Balogun did well when he came on, but there's just a couple of times, especially when they're chasing, you know, a bit of a turn of pace from their strikers, that I just get the fear a wee bit with Balogun. But, I mean, realistically, Balogun or Bassi is going to be in with Goldson to the end of the season. I would just pick one and stick with it, though, and not chop and change too much. But I don't think Bassi's really put a foot wrong.
I do want to have a wee quick chat about Sunday. Before I do, obviously, look, we go through, we've got Leipzig, but we'll talk about Leipzig another time, because I want to die a wee bit. I want to look into them a bit more before I talk about them, so I don't look like a total idiot. There's been a wee bit of talk today, Elaine, about possibly moving fixtures, and that old video's resurfaced. I can't remember the guy's name. He was the leader, the leader half of the SPFL.
Yep.
who was contacted by a prominent club. I think there only is one other prominent club in Scotland apart from Rangers, and we all know who that is, to say do not help them under any circumstances. Should Rangers be asking for a wee bit of help with regards to fixtures? I know Molly's dying to answer, right?
I know. Where did that come from? Honestly, she's been so well behaved, and no, Jesus.
She didn't like my question. And I don't blame her. It was a terrible question.
It was just a reaction to you know, hearing that another club said don't help them. She's got her back up, so that's it.
The staunchest dog in Scotland. Should Rangers be asking for help with regards to fixtures, with regards to giving us the best opportunity, giving the Scottish club the best opportunity to progress in Europe?
Honestly, I mean, the answer obviously should be yes, if we're anywhere else. I just couldn't be bothered with it. I think it's a totally futile exercise. I don't see the point. It's not going to change. I'd be incredibly surprised if any fixtures were changed. Realistically, there was the prospect of us going through when the split was announced. So if they really wanted to help at that point, you could have looked at it and things. But I don't know, obviously the whole point is, you know, looking at the league, whatever, but if they really wanted to, they could have helped out then. I don't for a minute think that the fixtures will be rescheduled. I don't think we'll get more time to prepare or anything like that. I think it will most likely be a repeat. And to be honest, I think, especially with the aggro between the board and the SPFL or the SFA, I just can't see it. I think it'd be a waste of time. And I also just think it would get everyone's backs up. So I think we know what we need to do. All our eggs are realistically in the European basket, apart from Sunday. And we know what we need to do.
The sad thing is, Kerr, that this isn't even a discussion in other countries. This just happens automatically in other countries. I think really if this was in Germany, if this was in Italy, and there's rivalries in these countries. But there's rivalries in these countries. There is, Kerr. You know, it's just it seems to be, and look, if the tides were turned, if it was the opposite way about, I'd probably be sitting here going, no, don't help them. That's how hypocritical I am. But it just seems to be in this country that hate trumps all.
It does, but I think it's never going to happen. We asked before and it never happened, so I think now...
Should it happen, though?
It should happen. I agree with teams getting help, no matter who it is and where they're from. If you can help your country at all winning a European trophy, then that's good for the country in a whole, but it's also obviously good for that club, but it gives the country a boost, but it's not going to... we're not going to get that, Martin. I think Celtic are also getting a tour of Japan lined up, so they're going to kibosh it anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
See, especially when the league isn't mathematically over yet. I just think there's just no way. Sporting integrity will get banded about, and there's just no way that it's going to happen.
There is one thing that club cannot do anymore, and that is shout about sporting integrity. Aldo McNaught, Molly saying hashtag shite question. Yes, Molly would probably be right.
I preferred when Molly was saying we are the people or whatever it was. There was another comment.
Well, there you go. That probably would have been a better comment to bring up right enough. Look, Barney's saying, no, we don't need favours. Michael Crooks, why ask? Why waste our time? Excuse me, Jim Sloan Channel member, no chance. Paul's saying, look, no, done this all ourselves. No one likes us. I'm not going to go down that route tonight. I'm honestly not. I had Martin, my doubts about... Yes?
Can I ask you a favour just after this question? I want to put you in the spot because I had a question about last night.
Spot me.
I was a bit concerned because see when we were getting, you know, when Arfield wasn't putting it away and there was still there was just that one goal cushion, just a bit concerned that history was going to repeat itself. We were going to end up going to penalties. And he's taken off Ramsey, he's taken off Roof, he's taken off Jack, he's taken off Barisic. So I'm looking at the 11 that are still on, thinking, right, Tav's a shoo-in. Who else has taken who are our other four penalty takers? Because
Arfield.
I'm looking at Sakala. Arfield considered he missed two open goals. The keeper wasn't in front of him, let alone.
Are you asking me who I would pick, or are you asking who would have stepped up?
Who you'd
Who steps up and you pick two different
who's
things?
Who's the other five? Who's the other four? Because obviously Tav does it. But I was starting to panic because I'm thinking, I'm not trusting Sakala here. I'm thinking,
Well, Arfield would have put himself forward straight away to go and take one, regardless of how many he's missed. So I could guarantee you that Arfield would have stepped forward. Connor Goldson would have stepped forward. So you've got Tav, Arfield, Goldson. I think Scott Wright would have put himself forward, although it wouldn't have been my first choice. And I think Borna Barisic as well.
He was in the
park. No, Borna was off. He took
Borna off. Borna was off, and he was off injured.
Bassey was still running down Pays Road West, didn't it?
I'm just saying.
Bassey, Goldson, Sakala giving me rose head fear.
I was trying to keep the conversation after we got to Braga positive. That's why I didn't mention disallowed goals, their players getting sent off stupidly. I was just trying to keep it all nice and joyful. And Elaine, you spoil it at the end because I couldn't remember who was on the park.
Typical woman.
Hey, don't get me started. Do not get me started. No. Who would have took the penalties in, Elaine?
Tav, Lundstrom, McGregor. Keeper penalties are always the best penalties. And then the other two would have missed whoever it was.
Yeah, I wouldn't have liked our chances if it went to penalties. Thankfully, never am I through to the semi-finals. Ian Ross, look, the football authorities will never help Rangers. Only one club gets that, i.e. the post-split fixtures. It's one of these conversations, Kerr. We could talk about it all night. Nothing's ever going to be resolved and we're never going to get a real positive outcome. It's just not going to happen. So we shall move on very quickly to Sunday. Now, of course, on Sunday we'll have the pre-match build-up. I'm not 100% sure who's going to be on it yet. I think Kieran might be on it for his car. But we'll wait and see. Before we go into that, if you are watching on YouTube, please do like and subscribe. I think the last time I checked, 150 subscribers away from 5,000. We're getting closer and closer to 1 million views as well, which is mental. 1 million people have seen this ugly face and mine. please do that. So subscribe. On Facebook, it's like and share, I think it is. And on Twitter, of course, give us a wee retweet and a like. Right, Elaine, Sunday. Scottish Cup semi-final against them. If we take all the positivity that we've took for Europe and we park that to the side now and we come back to the negativity that is domestic football, realistically, if we're looking at this, it's the last chance to stop them winning a treble.
Yeah, absolutely. And we only have ourselves to blame with that. It's, we have been in such a strong position and unfortunately we've let it slip. I said to you beforehand, I was more confident about Thursday night than I was going into Sunday. I was worried about the Old Firm at Ibrox that if we lost, the wheels could come off completely. Mm-hmm. And actually, good performance at St Mirren, great performance last night. We're such a confidence team. There's no reason why we can't go and give it a good go. And I think the players will have got a lot. That was the other worry, obviously, the worry of going out. But see when they pull a goal back last night, my worry is that the heads will drop. And if we didn't go through, because we had so many chances, that game should have been over, far earlier than it was, that we then... the confidence dips and Sunday. The one thing I would say is we'll be knackered, we'll be out on our feet. The players gave everything last night. I hope we can do it. I hope they bounce off it. I hope the atmosphere, I hope the fans stick with them, because we were then, and you know, I've touched on the atmosphere last night, but I think we really, really backed them at all points. And I think we need to do that again. Mm-hmm. We need to really get behind them. We know that they're going to be tired, but if they go out and give everything, if they go out and perform like last night, there's no reason why we can't get through.
Well, listen, of course, if we play to our best, we can 100% beat them. Looking at it more positively, Kerr, Darren Stewart, channel member, or it's the last chance for us to have a shot at the treble.
It is, and listen, you can never say it's over. The league, personally, I do think it's over, but I know it's mathematically possible, it's never an end can happen, but I think we've screwed it up for ourselves. The Scottish Cup is a must win for us, I have to say. But Europe's great, and we're all loving this run. If we get to the final, it'd be tremendous. And if we won it, my God, we don't know what we would do. But the Scottish, we kind of let them win a treble, Martin, after the season we had last year and the season they had. It's no enjoyable for me if that happens. So we have to win on Sunday, and I think the best way of doing that is starting the game like he started. I know starting, but putting the team that he started last night.
I was going to send that question straight back to you, Kerr. How do we win the game on Sunday then? Because the last two Old Firms have been horrendous. The last Old Firm, we started really well. We went a goal up, and then we shat the bed. So what does he need to do differently on Sunday?
I think if we started the way we done last night, I don't mean the way we played, but the way the formation was, we Tav and Bonner up the park and Jack and Bassey falling in wide and Goldson in the centre way. Lundstrom sitting deeper and you've got Aribo sitting a bit deeper. Ramsey finding space in the pockets and Ruth and Kent just kind of having kind of three roles around about either. Just trying to mix it up, because if we sit back, Celtic will attack us. If we attack them quite predictably, they just sit and hit us in the break. So if we can cover our full-backs like we done last night, I'll make them try to do something else, because they're a team that's full of pace. The boy up front made are just constantly runs. I mean, people can see he's not a good player.
But have you seen him running, though? He's running tremendous. It's brilliant. There's nobody that's ever ran like him before.
He's actually not a bad player. I'm not going to criticise him. I'm not saying he's the best player, but he's actually not a bad player. He does a job, and for our defenders tippy-tapping at the back at times, he can put under pressure, make a mistake, and McGregor's not the best at kicking either. So we need to be on the ball, and they'll get pace in the wings, and we just have to try and close them down. The only problem I've got with Rangers now, it's set pieces. I don't know. Do we defend the wee man-to-man mark, or would they go zonal? Because at times we don't pick anybody up.
I think that's the problem.
At times I don't pick anybody up. I know the goal last night, people are blaming Goldson to a point, yeah. But like you said, Martin, I watched it back. He was trying to organise people, tell them where to be, but they took it, and Roof could have done better. But Roof doesn't win many headers defensively, does he?
No, but you put the ball into the box for Roof and he attacks it. That's how Roof scores his goals. The problem is, and I'll just take this to Elaine really quickly. First of all, how many changes do you think there'll be for Sunday, right? And second of all, I think we all expect Roof to start. I know it looked as if he had maybe a wee niggle last night, but we expect Roof to start. And if he does start, we cannot again afford to play to Roof the way we play to Morelos, because it simply doesn't work.
No, I think Roof has his own qualities. They're not like for like. I think that's where at Parkhead just got found out, because that was Roof that led the line there, wasn't it? And I think that just got massively found out. A lot will depend on how the players recover. I wasn't sure if Roof had a niggle or they were taking him off, because I thought the Braga players were kind of trying to get him sent off, and he was already on a yellow, so I wasn't sure if that's why they took Roof off.
It looked as if he was holding his leg. I'm not 100% sure.
Barisic obviously depends if that was just a wee niggle. Ramsey depends how he recovers. I would start Ramsey. I think he played really well last night, but obviously you need to know how long you're getting out of him. I did see one in the comments as well saying John McLaughlin's played the rest of the Scottish Cup games. I know that's maybe the sweetener and why you keep how you manage to keep a good second keeper. I don't think you mess around with it at this stage. There's no room for kind of sentimental value. I would start with, and I know McGregor's been hot and cold as well, but if McGregor's your first choice keeper, McGregor's who starts for me as well.
We've had how many conversations, Kerr, about the goalkeeping situation? For me, and see the problem with doing these, right, and the problem with doing these live, is you say your opinion, and then about a week later, you've got a completely different opinion because you can't remember the opinion you had the week before, right?
It's called getting old, Martin. Happened to
it's
you,
called,
I think.
Yeah. It's called getting very old. I don't think this is your last appearance, Elaine. I don't think McGregor's had anywhere near his best season in the Rangers shirt, right? I don't think that's controversial to say. I think there's certain games that if John McLaughlin had played, we probably wouldn't have dropped points. But in saying that, Kerr, I do not see anybody else apart from Alan McGregor starting in goals on Sunday.
Probably not. And I've been McGregor's biggest fan, but this season he has cost his eye. Celtic do put a lot of balls into the box, and I trust McGregor coming for them. Answer's no. But I don't think McGolton's good enough to be a number one keeper next season. But I was still at a push for him in for Sunday. Just to get
you would put McLaughlin in?
Yeah.
When's the last time he played? Would it have been against, was it Annan? Was that the last? Who did we play? No.
It's a big game. He's a keeper. He's going to be up for it. I mean, we've seen the boy McCrory been up for it at the start of the season. I just think the defence aren't the most settled at the moment, especially balls into the box. But they're even more unsettled when you know your goalkeeper's not going to come for it. I mean, the Braga goalkeeper last night, all right, he was doing my nothing because he was cheating and he was rolling about. But see how far he was coming out for crosses?
Yeah.
Catching them.
Yeah.
We've not got a keeper like that, so it's putting your defenders under pressure because sometimes they're defending in the edge of a six-yard box and they're jumping straight up and a striker's running onto it.
Straight back onto that point, Kerr. Right, McGregor's, and I know this point's been made, McGregor's never came for crosses.
I know that.
McGregor's never done that. And I get that it puts extra pressure on the defence and that, you know, some of the saves that McGregor would make, he hasn't been making. But he's never done that, so surely the defence in front of him's used to that.
Knowing the fragile, Martin.
But and again, though, it's the same defence as last season, so why should McGregor be made to pay for the back four's fragility?
Because he's probably cost us over 10 points this season, just himself. And 10 points of difference between us being top and not being top. So why can you criticise Tav, Golson, Balligan, Bassey, Bonner, but you criticise McGregor, you blame the fault in front of him. He's got to hold his hands up at time. At the end of the day, he's the last defence. He's the keeper. That's what he's paid for, to make saves. And if he's not going to come for a cross ball, he's not going to come for a cross ball 10 years ago. So he's not going to come for it now, but I'm just saying my opinion is McLaughlin now putting goals on Sunday just for the fact he comes out and punches or catches because Celtic put a lot of balls into the box. That's my opinion. I'm Alan's biggest fan, but I think he's put a season too long.
I believe in the industry. I just get bitch slapped there with an answer. I just got absolutely caned. Ramsey, Elaine. We talk so much about his fitness and can he play two games a week. I thought he was good against Braga. I don't think he was the best on the park. I thought he was good. He got into some good spaces. He's looking fitter and fitter every game. Is Ramsey risked on Sunday? Is this why we brought him to the club? Should he play?
Yeah, because realistically, I know that we're not going to chuck the league, but if we're being realistic, there's two trophies that we've got a really good chance of getting. We're in two semi-finals. Yes. Those are the big games. That's, you know, he's a big game player, big money player. That's why we brought him. I think he's doing well. I think he's grown into it. I think his fitness is getting better. I think he's just an intelligent player. His running, some of the touches. There's some times where when he gets the ball, he can have them a couple of times last night. A good couple of Braga players around him, and he just knows how to play it out. Generally speaking, finds a Rangers man. I think I've been impressed with him coming in. I think you can see that at his best, he's a level above. He's not necessarily there at the moment. That's why he's with us, unfortunately. But I can see that, and I think 100%. If he's fit, if you're getting 60 minutes off him, you take him up. Because actually, that was one of the turning points. I felt that when we took Ramsey and Jack off, the team had been playing so well. And obviously, bringing subs on, that's always going to be a risk that you disrupt it. But taking two players that I thought were playing really well off, I thought that was a turning point for Braga just kind of sneaking back into it. So, no, 100% I would play him if he's fit.
I know for a fact, Kerr, that, I mean, you're about to plunge into darkness because you've not put money. You've not put Peter. No, what was it Brian said? I can't remember. It's gone now. You've not put money in the meter anyway.
Have you seen the price of gas and electric bills, man?
Have I?
That's why I'm at my mum's.
Yeah, I know. Aye, oh, yeah, by the way, she's fly as fuck, by the way.
I try to plug into neighbours, but I couldn't get through the wall.
Kerr, I know you right away are going to say Ramsey has to play.
He has to play. For me, he has to play. I agree with everything Elaine said. He's sometimes he'll give the ball away and you think what's he doing, but it's just because he's played with players in different level and players that we've got, and he's thinking the player should be there and they're not. But the more he plays, the better he gets. You can see the influence he brings to games. And I said that to you earlier on when I was talking to you on the phone. We changed the way we played when they made the subs, didn't I? And I know you said, don't find me, but when Jack and Amzi went off, we did start to go into our old way of playing. We were very predictable and we sat a bit, and that's when Bagger get back into it. So Ramsey has to play. Jack, I think, I said earlier, should just start the same 11 apart from maybe the goalie. That's the one I would change, but the same 11. Because I think that 11 last night, the way he came out, the traps and started, the formation was good. They were all supporting each other and we got forward quick, and that's what you need to do on Sunday. But Ramsey, to me, he plays, and if he can get him fit, he stays next season as well, before you want to ask.
Well, I'll come to that in future podcasts. Gallant Pioneer, he's got his hoose linked up to the lamppost outside. So,
come and show me how to do it, Gallant.
Want to come and show me how to do it, I know, please. Interesting point here for Darren Stewart, Elaine. Does Stephen Davis get a look in on Sunday? I'd be mega surprised.
Probably not. And it's not because I have any issue with Stephen Davis, because I think when he's on his game, he's brilliant. And he's another player who he gets it, he knows what it's all about. I just think we need to start quickly. We need to be on the front foot. And Davis does have the experience, but he's not played. You know, he's kind of been out of favour with Gio. There's obviously been rumours about, was it COVID related? Is it, you know? And I know Gio has said he's still a big player. He's still very much in the plans. I just don't know whether you chuck him in straight away on Sunday, because I think you go, depending on how tired they are. I agree that I probably would start the same team as long as they're not absolutely out on their feet. Potentially bring Stephen Davis on when we're 3-0 up just to coast and see it out, but I don't think I'd start him.
It would maybe be more of a question, Kerr, if it wasn't for the fact that I think for the first time last night in a long time, we've seen what looked like peak Aribo. I thought Aribo was fantastic last night, doing the things that he used to do. He looked to have that confidence back. I don't know if that goal against St. Mirren's just gave him a wee extra lease of life. But he, a fully functioning, fully motoring Joe Aribo makes such a difference and could make such a difference on Sunday.
He does, and I think going back for the Africa Cup of Nations, I think just fatigue setting, the amount of football he played, fatigue, travelling. You don't know if he maybe had COVID at one point, I don't know, but I think everything just kind of got to him. And just fatigue setting, I think he needed a rest, and maybe we never gave him it when we should have. But now you see him kind of back to where he was at the start and halfway through the season, and you seen it last night with two, he was involved in two goals, and especially the goal that won the game for as well, the third goal that gets through. I mean, Kamara's link up was really good, because it was just easy enough to swing that ball into the box, but Kamara put the ball through to Joe. And one thing I noticed last night, he was actually lifting his head when he was passing the ball. Sometimes you're not being, but he's been lifting his head. So he's looking for runners, and he lifted his head, and he spotted Roof coming in, and it was a great ball. It was a great finish. Good movement made Kamara Roof as well. I mean, that's what he does. He's not going to be like Morelos and bully players and hold up. He runs off our players, and he done it last night, and that's how we scored. But if Joe's up and firing, and it'll help his more than if he's not, but he still struggles defensively, Joe, but he's getting there. He's getting there, and he's still, like I said, Martin, if he was playing at the start of the season, if he was still playing that just now, he'd have been played a year in Scotland easily. But obviously, the amount of games he's played, he get fizzled out for a bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Do you know, my mind went completely blank. Who did we have in the midfield last night? With Lundstrom, Jack, and Aribo. Ramsey kind of played as a 10. Is that
Ramsey
fair?
Ramsey was playing kind of the right side, didn't he?
Would you be happy with that, Elaine, for the Old Firm again, or would you want more pace?
Oh, don't ask me about tactics.
Don't really need pace.
A 9 or 10. Do you know, one thing that it did, that kind of goes over my head, but when someone was saying about Ryan Jack slotted really nicely into right back, which let Tav go up, and it just provided a wee bit extra cover. And I think so much of us going forward, and so much what's good about us, is having the fullbacks. And in doing that, I think that's something that it just gave that extra wee bit of protection. Kent's pacey anyway. And if we look at who else, you know, if you're talking about pace, I don't think it's the game for Sakala to start. Scott Wright, I thought he did all right when he came on, but
not as good as what he'd done in the league for me, Elaine, and I think that just showed, I think, that Scott Wright, no.
No,
you just
not
the game.
That's
why I
put it best, man.
Sorry, Elaine, carry on.
No, I'm in agreement.
Are you done? All right, okay. We'll move on.
Oh, yeah.
Very quickly, everybody in the comments, please give me your predictions for Sunday. To regular viewers, to the podcast, the show, whatever you want to call it. You know, I like a score line and I like the first goal scorer. So, yeah, please get them in and I'll read them out shortly. Before I come to Kerr for the final question on all of this, before I come to you guys for predictions, if you're watching on YouTube, please do like and subscribe. We're getting ever closer to 5K subscribers, and a like helps share the podcast across the YouTube world. When the podcast is finished, come back in and leave a wee comment like, "Oh, Martin, you're the most handsome Rangers person on YouTube. There's nobody else who is as good as you, and you are the most handsome man in the world, even more handsome than Elaine." So if you want
your mother doesn't even post that.
No, because my mum doesn't like me. So you know what I mean? Can you not tell by this nose? You know what I mean? If you're on Twitter, give us a wee retweet, a like, and a comment in there as well. On Facebook, a like and a share. Kerr, you watch a lot of the other teams in the SPFL for varying reasons.
Right.
You've seen quite a bit, not quite a bit, but you've seen some of Celtic.
Yeah.
We pretty much all know our players now. We've played them a couple of times. But just to refresh our memory, as horrible as it is, where is Celtic's threats coming from, and do you expect Ange to kind of go with the same team that we've seen at Ibrox?
I can't remember their team, Martin, but I expect them to go with an attacking lineup because they like to play in their front foot. I know Ibrox and never, they kind of sat back and they sucked us in and just said try and break us down. We couldn't, but Hampden's quite a big pitch, so I think they'll make the pitch big for them, and they'll probably stick two wingers out and make it big. You've got McGregor running control in the middle. I don't know if he'll play. Let's call him the Australian guy again. I always remember his name, Rogic.
Tom Rogic.
I don't know if he'll play because he never seems to last 90 minutes, does he? But
good player though. And as much as Ange's
get his kind of performances back because he wasn't playing that well last season. But Ange's get performances back. But they've got pace. They've got legs in the middle, legs in the wings, and they're quick up front. And that's how we have to stop them. That's how we've seen it at Ibrox. We pressed staff out a few times, and he was making mistakes with kicking the ball out or whatever, but we stopped pressing him after that, and I don't know the reason for it. Carter Vickers is a decent player, so we can't play the ball high towards him. We have to, if we're going to point at the roof, Havering has to be on the ground or down the side. We can't play it, and because he'll just get bullied, roof, as we've seen at Celtic Park. He'll just get bullied, so we have to play things quick on the ground. But sometimes other players want to take 2, 3, 4 touches before they pass it again. We can't do that. We have to take one touch and move it, like we have seen we can do. So it'll be a hard game because Celtic will come into this game confident. They beat us twice. Mm-hmm. And you know yourself, we beat them a few times. Every game you're in after that, you think we're going to beat them no matter how they play because we know we can beat them. And I think they've maybe got that wee bit in them. But if Rangers players turn up, we should make it more difficult and hopefully beat them. But I'm one of these people to say, I don't like Celtic, but I'm one of these people to say they're a bad side because they're decent. They're not sitting in top league. You can say they're sitting in top league because we were at fault. We could have been, but they also had to win games as well.
Yeah,
that's the reason they're sitting top of the league, no.
Is it a case right now, Elaine, of what Ange's got Gio's number? That's two games against Gio, two wins. And our record at Hampden of late, let's be honest, isn't exactly perfect, is it?
No, our Hampden record's shocking. Possibly, but I just think that a lot of the time we are the masters of our own downfall, and that you could put that against any team that's taking points off us or you know puts out a cup or whatever it is. I don't necessarily think it's they've got Gio's number or anything like that. I think the team can be quite easy to set up against if we're not play on the front foot, if we're not pressing, if we sit back and invite pressure on, the reality is at the moment, we are not good enough. And that seems nuts coming off the back of last night, but we are not good enough to soak up the pressure if we sit back and sit off them. And we saw that at Parkhead. I don't think we would get another performance like that. But I just think we'll go... I think we'll need to start quick. But also, I don't watch a lot of Celtic games at all. I don't know a great deal about them. I do remember certainly at the start of the year, there was a lot of chat about they came out firing because they tired. The reality for us is that we're going to tire. An extra 30 minutes, you know, last night, we will tire at some point as well.
Especially so Eleni, if it doesn't change the team.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, it's all very well saying it worked last night. It's great. But we need to, Gio needs to trust his bench as well. We have had games this season, he did last night, he changed it, he, you know, freshened up when need be. We have had games where he's not, and we, you know, he's not trusted the bench. He needs to utilise the squad. I think we need to come out fighting, we need to come out on the front foot, hopefully get a cushion. And then I think he needs to, you know, our game management needs to be top drawer on Sunday, because the reality is we will tail off, whether they will as well. As I say, I don't watch any of their games to know if that's still the case.
Well, Michael agrees with you. Look, yes, Elaine, when we try and sit back, we don't do well, which is 100% true. Barney's saying Celtic are a decent side, but we are better. We need to show it on the park. Curry Muncher, no chance he has our number. He plays one way, and it has been our own defence that has effed us up. Well, right now, Ange has Gio's number until such times as Gio wins. So until such times as Gio pulls an Old Firm win out, then Ange does, of course, have his number. Elaine Kerr, I'm going to come to you for predictions. Give me your predictions and your first goal scorers. Before I come to you, and I'll give you a wee minute to think about it, I'm going to go to some predictions from people in the comments. Paul McGarrigle is going 2-0 Kent. Grant McRoberts is going 2-1 Roof. I said that about like a dog there, didn't I? Roof. I meant Roof. Martin Mead is going 3-1 Kent. What else we got? Channel member Jim Sloan's going Kent 3-0. Don't you be stealing these. I want your honest opinions. Rabble contributor Graham is going 2-1 Aribo. Sharpie's going 2-1 Golds. And channel member Darren Stewart's going 3-2 to the famous Ramsey with the first goal. I'd love Ramsey to get the first goal on Sunday. Nicholas Moore, South Wales Loyal's going 2-1 Rangers. Ramsey first goal. Right, if we get anyone that's slightly different, do we have anything different? Lee Henderson's going 2-1 Goldson. I'm saying the names awfully funny tonight. Stuart Keane, 2-0 Bobby Madden first goal. There you go, that's a good one. Right, Elaine, what are you saying? Oh, before you come in, Michael Charon, channel member, he's going 4-1 and Roof, very, very confident. So Elaine, sorry, what are you saying?
I think it'll be a nervy 1-0 and it'll be the sort that, yeah, no nails left by the end, and Tav penalty.
Oh, I knew you were going to go Tav, but I just, when you said 1-0, I knew you were going Tav penalty. Kerr?
2-1
Okay, what are you doing to me, man?
2-1 Tav, I was going to say for first goal, 2-1 but I think we'll win it in extra time.
You think after Thursday night, if it goes 2-1 we'll have enough in the tank for extra time?
Aye, because we've only got your team next, Marabell, and we're not really bored about them. Right, we're not going to be bored about them.
Yeah, I cannot. You know, that's one team I cannot stand, man. There's another team in Scotland I can't stand. But for reasons I won't name, because a certain family member's just signed for them. Callum C's gone 3-0 Roof. Craig Stewart's gone 3-2 Tav. Curry Muncher, another one with extra time. What are you talking me extra time for? My heart cannot handle extra time on Sunday.
Get our money's worth.
No, see if it goes to extra time. See the reaction on this. We'll just be me like that. That'll be it. That'll be the only thing you'll see. Here's a quick point. I always go to finish and then somebody pulls a question right out their arse. If it goes to extra time, Alex Lowry's your man. Do we expect to see Kerr, Mr. Lowry, on Sunday at any point? Do you think he'll be given a chance?
Not because Gio no risk. He'd probably rather bring on Arfield. And if Alex Lowry was in the park last night, he would have scored both their chances.
He would have. He would have. He would have, Elaine. Will we see any Rangers youngsters get their chance on Sunday? Depending on how the game's going?
Depending on injuries, I think. Maybe Leon King's got a better chance.
Aye. Do you know, kind of, Lowry, when he's come on, he's looked absolutely brilliant. I hope he does. But I think we might see him towards the end of the season. I don't think with so much at stake on Sunday, he'll throw him in there.
Righty-ho. Well, it's always good to end on a negative. I love ending on a negative. It brings me joy. Right, so listen, thank you to everybody for watching. We will be back on Sunday. It's a 12 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's 2 o'clock.
It's a 2 o'clock. I meant 2 o'clock. Just testing.
Too many tenants for you, Martin.
I've only had one can. We'll be back on 1 o'clock for the pre-match build-up on Sunday. And then, of course, we'll be back for reaction shortly after the game. Big thank you to everybody watching. Thank you, Kerr. Welcome back, Elaine. Thank you for coming back. So a few people have asked what the announcement is, the Rabble announcement is. The Rabble announcement will be at the end of the season. So by the time it gets to the end of the season and I announce it, you all go, oh, that was pish. What did you make us wait to the end of the season for that shite for? Well, I apologise, but you can just wait until the end of the season. Things are changing all the time. So, Jim Sloan, great pod, follow. Thank you very much. Please do like and subscribe. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, at Rangers Rabble and all that. Help share, help get the pod about. The numbers have been steadily growing again. We went through a wee period where they kind of stayed where they were, somewhere between 1,500 and like 3,000. Now it's kind of going up and up and up, so that's great. Grats, you're pregnant, Martin. Thanks very much, buddy. Thank you. I just read somebody was pregnant and I was going to say congratulations. Didn't realize you were fucking thought of me. So thank you. So yeah, I'm going to end the podcast before I rumble on any longer. Thank you to everybody watching and we'll see you all on Sunday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.